This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. For Thursday, March 26th, I'm Jeff Bossert. Coming up, working to dismiss claims of media bias, we get a report from Illinois Public Radio's Rich Egger. And we'll check the forecast for Champaign-Urbana, but first a look at today's news. Despite 4 weeks of hearings that included testimony from 38 expert witnesses, Illinois Senate Committee on Deficit Reduction is adjourned without producing any proposals for reducing the Illinois deficit. Committee members couldn't even agree on how to describe the size of the state's budget hole or whether it must be solved in a single year. Members said yesterday their final report would describe the state's financial problems but not offer any specific recommendations or even issue an opinion on whether the problems could be solved without raising taxes. The most significant revelation from the committee's four hearings was a new estimate for the size of the budget deficit, $12.4 billion, instead of the $11.5 billion figure used by Governor Pat Quinn. At least one piece of a statewide construction program could be approved next week as Illinois officials try to create jobs during the spring construction season. Governor Quinn said yesterday he has an agreement with Democratic legislative leaders to take action before lawmakers begin their spring break. He wouldn't provide details, but a spokeswoman for Senate President John Culverton says top Democrats have agreed to a roughly $1.5 billion plan to fill potholes and resurface roads. The money would come from the state road fund. If that happens, officials would still face tough decisions on a much larger program to build roads, modernize schools, and repair mass transit systems. The governor wants a $26 billion construction program funded by raising the cost of driver's licenses and registration fees. Even as Illinois faces an historic deficit, Governor Pat Quinn's proposed budget includes pay raises for himself, other state officials, and for lawmakers. Amanda Vinicky has more.
Quinn has said he's limiting his own salary at around $150,000, but his own budget plan lists the governor's salary at $182,000. The plan bumps up legislators' base pay, too, by 2.8% to about $70,000. Quinn says he had no choice. He was required to give annual cost of living increases. Legislative pay is decided by an obscure panel known as the Compensation Review Board. Only if both chambers reject the panel's recommendation do the raises not go through. It's a process Quinn says needs fixing.
I would appeal to the legislature to really take a look at the Compensation Review Board and revamp it, overhaul it entirely. I don't think there should be automatic cost of living increases.
Quinn says he's taking a pay reduction and suggests other officials should consider doing the same. I'm Amanda Vinicky.
Facing charges of poor attendance at the county auditor's office, Tony Fabry has resigned as Champaign County Democratic chairman. AM 580's Jim Meadows reports.
Fabry announced his resignation at a meeting of Democratic Central Committee members in Champaign last night and then gave up the chairmanship to first vice chair Al Klein. Speaking with reporters outside, Fabry said a lot of the criticism leveled against him was not accurate, but that it couldn't be ignored.
I think some of the recent criticism I've received is criticism I have to take seriously. And a lot of that, I think, can be addressed by focusing all of my attentions on the auditor office and, you know, making sure that the people who supported me know that they made the right decision.
Fabry came under fire after a News Gazette article claimed that phone records from the auditor's office indicated he was often absent from work. Meanwhile, Al Klein, the new Champaign County Democratic chairman, says he doesn't know how long he'll stay at the post.
My plan is to win as many of the elections in 2 weeks as we can and to get our fundraising going. And I'll consult with the executive committee after the elections to see how we want to proceed.
Fabry served 5 years as Champaign County Democratic chairman. He remains a Democratic precinct committee member. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
Managers of Urbana's historic Lincoln Hotel maintain that a 9-month renovation process is about to start despite an auction of the site scheduled for next month. The hotel closed abruptly Tuesday, just days after a Springfield bank won a $1 million foreclosure judgment against its owner, Urbana Enterprise, LLC. The hotel's 10 employees were let go and guests were asked to check out. A sheriff's auction of the hotel and its furnishings is scheduled for April 24th. But Global Hotel Management hopes to keep that from happening. Vice President Fred Roderman says they're negotiating with a bank to secure ownership by mid-April, likely from investment through global sources. The managers are also working to lure in a major brand hotel chain and restaurant to the Lincoln. Roderman says he's looking to restore it to its original 1924 glory while adding amenities like a gift shop and fitness center. And he contends the closure was brought on by deteriorating conditions at the hotel, not the financial crisis.
If you look at the history of hotels, they are one of the last sectors to feel the pinch of an economy. Right now we're doing well, and is relative, the closing of the property is relative to preparing for renovating it out of dust and debris and who knows what we're going to find in behind walls and what have you. It's safer to have everyone out of the building while we're working on it.
Roederman says the 10 employees who lost their jobs can apply for other positions within Global Hotel Management or can reapply for jobs when the Lincoln reopens in January. Former Governor Rod Blagojevich earned a solid B from WLSAM program director Bob Schomper after his stint filling in as a talk show host. Schomper says he might consider Blagojevich for future fill-in duty, saying he did a wonderful job his first time out. Blagojevich took the mic during the Don Wade and Roma morning show because the regular hosts were off yesterday. His morning gig came complete with Elvis Presley intro music, outraged rants against government, and a lineup of sympathetic callers and guests. In one of the show's weirder moments, Blagojevich even chatted with the comedian who plays him in the Second City spoof, Rod Blagojevich, Superstar. For the latest newscast online, go to will.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Jeff Foster. It's not uncommon to hear claims of media bias, but new research suggests those claims are full of hot air. Illinois Public Radio's Rich Egger reports from Macomb.
Tanya Atkins-Covert and Philo Wasburn studied how four social issues were covered between 1975 and 2000. Those issues are crime, the environment, gender, and poverty. Atkins-Covert says the publications they studied are Time, Newsweek, National Review, and The Progressive.
We did find that Time and Newsweek were very centrist in their coverage. And there was one exception, and that was the coverage of gender. But over the 25-year period, we found that most of the coverage fell within what we called balanced. It was neither far left nor far right. It was really middle of the road. And that, I think, is very different from what you hear and what you see in other discussions of bias.
But you also looked at a couple magazines that have a bit of bias, or at least
yes,
are perceived to. Why did you choose to look at those also?
We also examined National Review and The Progressive, both of which are partisan publications, and their editorial statements denote their partisan viewpoint. We wanted to look at those because one of the things that lacks in the existing research is any comparative anything to make comparison to. So they say, oh, well, this is left or this is right compared to what? And so we wanted to look at a set of publications that were left and right leaning, were liberal and conservative leaning, and then we would have something to compare it to. And so you can say that, oh, Newsweek is obviously liberal. Liberal compared to what? It's not liberal compared to the Progressive. Not at all. The one exception, as I mentioned, was gender. And I think that exception exists, and we talk about this in the book, because people do not have a conservative or centrist view about gender in our society. We do not believe that in mass that women shouldn't be allowed to work, that women shouldn't be fighting for equality. And so I think that even if that was slightly skewed, and I mean only slightly liberal in our measurement model, that is reflective of public opinion and not really a sign of bias. And so we need to rethink what is liberal, what is conservative, based on public opinion rather than some arbitrary zero.
Your study covers 1975 to 2000. It's now 2009.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think your findings are still relevant given all the changes in the media landscape in the past 8 or 9 years?
I think that's hard to say. I don't know that there's that much change. We didn't see a change between prior to 1996 and after 1996 with the Telecommunications Act and the changes that brought in media ownership during the last few years of the study. So I'm not sure that we would see, especially in these print publications, much of a change between 2000 and 2009.
As you conducted your research, was there anything that surprised you?
One of the things that surprised me most was how little coverage these publications gave to the issue of poverty. Only 19 articles appeared in Time magazine over 25 years about the issue of poverty. 19 articles. And this includes changes in the 1980s to welfare laws and changes in the 1990s with the Welfare Reform Act. So only 19 articles. And in Newsweek, only 31 articles over a 25-year period dealing with the issue of poverty. So I was surprised by that, by how little coverage was given to the issue of poverty. The other thing that surprised me was a shift in the National Review's coverage of crime. Our analysis of crime included coverage of drugs and drug laws, as well as street crime, mandatory sentencing laws, that sort of thing. And what we found was during the period of study, the National Review changed its view on drugs and drug policy. In fact, I think it was in 1996 that they published an article that said the war on drugs is lost, and went from a traditional conservative view, mandatory sentencing, stricter regulation, to a decriminalization stance when it came to drugs and drug laws. And that was really surprising to me. What happened with our study when we were analyzing this is those articles came to be coded as liberal because it took on more of the stances and positions that liberals hold about drug laws. So we found an interesting sort of shift where we had this little blip. All of the articles were conservative, and then articles on drugs, especially after this time period, after this shift, editorial shift, were blipping up, were jumping up to the liberal scale, which was sort of an interesting thing.
Tanya Atkins-Covert teaches sociology at Western Illinois University. She's co-author of the book Media Bias, a comparative study of Time, Newsweek, National Review, and The Progressive, coverage of domestic social issues 1975 to 2000. Atkins-Covert believes those who most strongly argue that bias exists are those with the strongest political views. That includes conservatives and liberals. Atkins-Covert hopes the book convinces readers to move beyond the rhetoric. Rich Egger reporting.
In our forecast for today, mostly cloudy skies, isolated showers this morning, the high around 58 degrees. Mostly cloudy tonight, the low around 38, mostly cloudy. Tomorrow, a chance of showers, the high around 48. Cloudy, a chance of showers Friday night, the low around 38. Showers likely on Saturday, a chance of thunderstorms, the high around 50. Cloudy skies on Saturday evening, a chance of rain, then a chance of rain or snow after midnight, the low around 35 degrees. Mostly cloudy Sunday, the high around 48. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Thursday, March 26th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, as well as other helpful information at our website, will.illinois.edu. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.